It was here before we realized it, hidden in everyday noise. Invisible voices talking boisterously. Parallel lives. Parallel Lives is your source for scintillating social storytelling. Today's episode runs 24 and a half minutes. Also, there's a cat that's meowing for some of it. If you like, you can imagine the cat is the yawg.
Hey, welcome to Parallel Lives Supplemental.
The Drowning Cats Edition.
That's not going to make any sense because I'm not going to keep that in the podcast.
A wonderful cat funeral.
The Leeches Edition.
The Leeches Edition. I'm your host, and today I am joined by Carrie, Hugh, and Charles. It's a party up in here. We are talking about 2013 release, The Yogg.
Which is coincidentally a party game.
And also a computer game.
A computer
game.
What?
A persecutor game.
Specifically, for those trying to Google this right now, it's spelled YAWHG.
I would like to insist that this is properly pronounced the Yogg.
It might be.
The Yogg started as a product developed for the TIFF Nexus Comics vs. Games Showcase, but then eventually it turned into an actual game that they wanted to release on Steam, I guess. Developed by Damian Somner and Emily Carroll, and they also had Ryan Roth and Helena Herron. I might be mispronouncing their names. This game is maybe even more different than things that we usually talk about on this podcast. At least different in format, at least. I've said at least multiple times in that sentence.
It's okay, you can get rid of at least one of them.
Okay. Charles, you're either fired or that's a promotion. I don't know which one.
Ooh, tough choices. Tough choices in upper management.
Yeah.
Ah, tough choices.
At least you have options.
That will change my stats.
That will change your stats. Plus one charisma, Charles, but minus one, I don't know, finesse.
It wasn't even a stat. You couldn't find your way to one of the stats they used.
Was like charisma not a stat?
It was
not
a charm.
Oh, it was a charm. Oh, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, no, plus one charisma.
Charisma.
An underrated starting Pokemon, let me be clear, Charmisma.
Okay, so the Yogg.
It sounds like a fire type. Fire types are never underrated.
They really are. You start by going to, like, in Gen 1, you're like, hey, first gym, water. Okay, cool, what's my Charmander do? Die. Okay, cool, at least I made it through that one with my normal types. What's up next? Rock. Okay, can my normal types get me through that? Not really. What about my starter? Oh, your fire type? Yeah, die.
Yeah, but they're good in the long... whatever.
Gratuitously overtrain your starting Pokemon and then use normal type attacks to just beat them down by being high level. It's not that hard. It's the easiest part of the entire damn game.
Thank you.
Oh, but it felt so wrong. I never wanted that one over-leveled guy. I felt like I was failing all my other Pokemons.
That's true.
Yeah. So the Yogg.
We did play a video game today. It is the Yogg.
And you might be thinking to yourself, that's strange. Aren't they an analog role-playing game podcast? And the answer is sort of.
When we feel like it, we don't owe you shit, listener.
No, specifically. Love you, listener.
You've never
you
paid us.
You know what we're talking about. Specifically, the Yogg is a Steam game. It is a computer game that you play as a group together, probably in person, and have a party. You make choices, essentially.
It's sort of a digital choose your own adventure game.
The game plays out over a sequence of 6 turns. On each turn, each player gets to choose one of a finite set of options, each of which may only be chosen once on that turn. That option has 2 sub-options. Those 2 sub-options reveal little snippets of story and modify your stats.
It's more fun than it sounds.
Yeah, but this is a game that I think can be adequately described as Hugh just did, or we can say that it is approximately equal parts Princess Maker and... Tales of the Arabian Nights or Betrayal of the House on the Hell.
Please no one drown my cat.
Oh, I'm so close to it, though. What if we just attached him to something outside?
I forgot to mention this, but podcast does have special guest star, Philip Jan Marlowe, a.k.a. Olivia's cat... And he has real opinions about the Yogg.
He's real loud. They seem to.
It's possible that Marlo is the Yogg.
Oh, Mar might be the Yogg.
Do we talk about, by the way, at the end of the 6 turns, the 6 weeks, that's when the Yogg shows up?
Yeah, the Yogg is some sort of existential horror. It turns out to be a big giant storm. Spoilers.
Yeah,
I don't know that that's as clear as you think it is. I think there's remains ambiguity about what the Yogg is.
It's real wet. At least, okay, I think that it seems to me to be the case that in both games that we played, the Yogg appeared to be a storm.
I mean, I think a storm attends it, but okay. I'm not sure that the thing itself is the storm.
Yeah, that's fair.
It might be something weirder and more fey than that.
I would like to suggest that for critical review purposes, we include a snippet of the musical track that accompanies the entire game, because it's one track.
Yeah.
And that seems good.
Just a couple of measures of the opening guitar, blah-de-blah.
Yeah, I can probably do that.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would also like to note that I spent this entire game listening to that track and being really confused that I wasn't playing Life is Strange, which also has a recurring musical motif that's very much like that. In fact, it's sort of the main title theme of the
that. And if I could rewind time game, in this game,
go a lot better for me.
No, you
unlike this game, however, it has other music.
Having said that,
it does have a very similar tone. There's an impending storm. There's sort of melodramatic, sort of vaguely nostalgia-tinged narration. There's, you know,
Life is Yogg.
I think it's more than one piece. There's one recurring one, but I think it does shift each turn slightly. I think the piece modulates in between weeks.
Right, well, you get sound effects later on. There's storm noises coming in the background and thunder.
Yeah.
But
in any case, the way that this game plays out is approximately each of 1 to 4 players plays a character who is living out their life before the Yogg arrives, not knowing that the Yogg is coming. So you make choices, you gain stats, you lose stats, I don't know, maybe make some friends along the way, and then the Yogg shows up, and you basically get one more turn to decide what you're doing in the wake of this disaster, and then we learn how the town fared, and each character gets their own specific ending.
And it's real sad, usually.
Yeah, and can we talk about those thematics for a moment? Because that, at the level of, like, gameplay complexity, I don't think this game has a lot to recommend it. I think it is a very simple structure, and worse, it's one of those structures that is, like, you make a choice with very little information, and the game secretly compares your stats to some amount that it thinks you should have at this point before deciding whether you get a good or bad outcome for the decision you made, and then you are dragged forward.
For the record, personally, that wouldn't bother me so much, except that there's a lot of recurrence. We played the game twice, and we had a lot of events come up, like, multiple times between each session. And for a game like this, I was expecting maybe more variety.
Would you say come up in both games? Because I think multiple times between
you're
each
right,
session
that's
is
a better
little bit
way to
ambiguous.
Say it. Yeah. Came up in both games.
I want to say, if you want to play a game like this, which just has some background music, a limited and essentially continually reused set of graphics that actually has interesting gameplay mechanics and required that you make choices and plan things all the while a story unfolds in the background, play the Black Closet. Black Closet is so much better than this.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, no, I will keep that in mind.
I'm surprised to find that it seems like we're fairly down on this game.
I'm kinder than that. The reason I want to talk about the thematics is because a thing you mentioned at the beginning strikes me as very important to the game, which is that the whole narrative of the game is there is a disaster impending, and we are going to spend 6 weeks unaware of it. And our characters spend 6 weeks unaware, and kind of just doing stuff and having happenings. Maybe some magic occurs, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe you become a vampire, who knows? And then the apocalypse happens. And that's a very interesting structure for a story. I'm not totally sure why it was chosen for this game.
I'm down on this game largely because I don't feel like the combination of sort of multiplayer, each person gets a character element, and the element of just sort of being blindly thrown into this with this sort of dramatic music and melodramatic narration and making some random choices each week leaves me with a game that I care about anything. It's not funny enough to be a party game. I don't think what happens is particularly interesting other than quite right at the end, and so what you do along the way is just make a series of arbitrary choices for, like, 15 minutes and then watch an ending.
Okay, so I have two things to say about that, and the first is, during our two playthroughs, I don't know, there was a fair amount of laughter, and that would suggest to me that it's, like, at least reasonably funny. And then the other thing is, I think the multiplayer element is important. Because, so if you're playing a game like this, and only one person has control, ultimately they get to make the decision. Everybody's going to be yelling stuff, everybody's going to say, like, oh, do this, oh, do that. But the control is ultimately in the hands of one person. This makes it so that everybody gets to yell, and everybody gets to make choices.
Yeah. I think I have two main things, really. I want to say, like, I'm not maybe as down on the game as I sound, I guess. But I am worried a little bit about how much it would be a game that he'll play a lot of, or even a fair amount of. Maybe it's fun if you have a different group of people coming over at different times to play it, because it's still fresh for them. Maybe it's fun if you only play it like once a month or something like that. But like, we played two games. I felt like I saw a fair amount of what there was to see. And this is, it's not an expensive game. It's only $10, but...
I would also like to say I'm not as down on this game as I think that preceding rant may have made it sound. The art is absolutely lovely, and I think it's well put together. It's tight. It doesn't feel like it has anything unnecessary in it, and I generally think that's good in making a thing. I feel like it's almost doesn't have quite enough. I want a little more story, a little more character, a little more something, and then it would be a game I really like and would like to play through a whole bunch of times just to see all the little different outcomes. But as it is, it really, its origins, which is some kind of game jam or something.
It is the Comics vs. Games Showcase, so I don't really know what that is, but it says a game developer was paired up with a comic artist, and they worked on a... game
okay.
together.
Some kind of game jam.
It sounds game jammy enough.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I have no prior familiarity with TIFF Nexus, but it's got to be like the interactive fiction something.
No, it must be
a conference or something.
Yeah.
Or
enough.
On a website. No. I don't know. It does feel very small and not quite fully fleshed out.
Mm. That's almost exactly my major difficulty with it. When you begin the game, you're presented with that, like, in 6 weeks the Yogg will be here and we will live our lives unaware until that time, and then you make your six choices and you have your tiny stories, and then the Yogg arrives, and then, as Olivia mentioned, you have a final choice in what is, you know, we'll say the post-apocalyptic world, the post-Yogg world. And I was very excited, and I was like, oh, it's not just the Yogg arrives... and then the game is over, and you find out whether, you know, your stats were high enough to repel the Yogg together as part of some big skill check that the game will run in secret or anything like that. You get to go past that moment and into the next phase of this world, and in that world, rather than choosing whether you're going to faff about at the gardens or waste time at the palace, you choose whether you will be the person who's trying to rebuild, or whether you will be the leader, or whether you will go ahead and just be, like, a looter or a town drunk. And I was like, ah, there's an act two. I was so ready for that act too, but it's not really. You make one choice and it's like, okay, so here's what your life is like as a looter post-Yogg with the stats that you have, and we're done.
I want a couple of other things. I want a randomly, possibly selectable or possibly just randomly assigned, short, like, two-panel character background at the beginning of the game for each character. Just to give me any reason to care about the characters.
It's you.
But who am I? Why am I in this town? What is this place? Like, give me anything. Like, you grew up on a select farm as the son of a prosperous merchant, as an idle prince. Just, like, I want two screens, and mm-hmm. I want, and, you know, just any introduction. And then I want that second act Charles made, and as an unrelated aside, Black Closet's another game by the God Save the Queen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It plays out like a lot like a strategy board game.
Mm-hmm.
Played out in the form of a visual novel. It's really solid. It's really quite hard.
How interesting. I think I side positively against adding any extra background to the characters prior to the game. I think that the notion, as it is in like most of these games, is that you start with sort of a blank slate of a character, and then their choices define their stats, and in those choices they've made, you begin to get a sense of what sort of a character you're playing. Are they someone who, when they go to the slums, are they there to select fight crime, or are they there to pick pockets? And you build up that character for yourself. And I think that starting from zero like that is a reasonable... Like, I can... Let's be a hair more diplomatic. I can definitely understand preferring to have a bit more character given to you to start yourself, especially when you don't have very much in the way of time or decisions to make. Again, you make approximately six. But I don't know that the game is necessarily enriched by opting for a more backstory-heavy form of narration.
I'm neither, I think, necessarily pro-backstory nor necessarily anti-backstory, but I do think it's fairly important to the game that your stats start flat, and I do think that injecting backstory would make it so there's not as much reason for stats to start flat.
I see your point there. I'd argue that it's not obvious that there is a reason for the stats to start flat anyway.
I think that there is, because your experiences before the Yogg shape your character entirely, and I think that's relevant, the choices that you make in those 6 weeks before the Yogg.
But we're given the specific time frame that it is 6 weeks. I think it's very weak from a narrative point of view to how is it that you come to be in a situation or place where your actions in these 6 weeks will shape your future? To me, that's just, the story feels undefined on that front end, you know, in a way that makes it less potentially meaningful. I don't think it's that meaningful, but...
You said you were having difficulty finding something to, like, latch onto about the characters without something more to go into other than, like, well, you're the red-cloaked woman.
And given that the nature of the events you go through is that they are mostly random and the outcomes are sort of surprising to you, it doesn't feel like the choices you make tell you anything about the characters really either.
I don't mind there not being a lot of character to the characters, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because sort of just as a party game, it's kind of fun just to impress the story that you see forming around the character onto them. I like the idea sort of like, aha, this person is becoming more of a crime fighter. That's interesting. But I will say, something to give you a little bit more direction at the start might be good. There was a point where I was like, man, do I go to the castle or do I go to the woods? I don't really know. Now that I've played it, I could say, like, I really want to get more...
strengthulous.
Yeah, right. Bulk. And I would know I could go to the woods or the arena or something.
It's clearly a game that doesn't bother to have any kind of tutorial because since it only takes 15 minutes to play, you can just play it and then
your first game is the tutorial. Yeah,
which I don't know how much I like that for a game that you're probably only going to play two or three times. But...
I think it's okay. For my part, I think that narrative was adequately emergent, and additionally, the game profits in that most of the random events are not quite one and done. There are a lot of them that contain at least the promise or the possibility of ramifying later. In our second playthrough, the reason this is a Parallel Lives Leech Edition was that I was working in the hospital and the leeches got loose, which is a thing that leeches can do in this world, apparently. But the leeches got loose, and thereafter, like, the next three players all encountered leeches in their events. It is not just sort of, you know, you get the stat boost for doing thing at place, and then there is a brief one-shot event that maybe does something and maybe doesn't. Like, a lot of them ramify longer than that, and so that became the one where, like, the town was exploding, and also there were leeches everywhere. And that felt a lot more like a plotline than not.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think is very interesting about this game, is that, like, on the one hand, I think it's really valid to say, you know, that there was a lot of repetition between our games. That we saw a lot of the same things. But on the other hand, our endings were totally different. And we had this whole, like, long leech interlude. And when we finished the first game, I thought to myself, I'm not sure how much replay value this is going to have. We're going to see. And as we were starting the second one, I was thinking to myself, oh, not very much replay value. But then the leeches came in and didn't stop coming in. And so I think it's possible that there are a bunch of, like, I don't know, a bunch of little sub-stories in there. And maybe that's where the replay value comes from.
There's something to be said for the prospect of tantalizing the players with maybe there are yet more random events or yet more storylines that I might uncover by playing through this a couple more times. And I actually think this game does that pretty well. But I don't know whether that's enough when this game seems relatively mechanically light. So, like, God Save the Queen, for example... I mean, it's not exactly mechanically complicated, but there are so many goddamn events and things that happen, and you have to get your character's stats to exactly the right thing to survive this, that, or the other event. Black Closet poses similar challenges in a bit of a different format. Basically, my verdict is it's not mechanically complicated enough, and there are things that don't quite click for me from a story point of view, and if not A and not B...
Mm-hmm. I, by contrast, am a person who will just 100% complete every visual novel or, like, dating sim or whatever that I play. And the Yogg is a game that only takes 15 minutes and requires, like 300% less reading than finishing out a storyline in any given visual novel does. So
on that note, when you're saying who this game is for, you'd say yourself? You look in the mirror?
There's definitely not enough fucking for it to be for me.
Okay.
But, like... It's definitely, like, I've played a lot of Monster Loves You, And this is similar enough to Monster Loves You that I'm like, yeah, if Monster Loves You is for me, I guess this is also for me.
It's astonishingly similar to Monster
it's
Loves You.
It's really similar to Monster Loves You. I think this game is better than Monster Loves You, but that's all I'm saying.
I would also say, despite all of my preceding comments about why I don't like this game, those are mostly just comments that come from the sense that I feel like I could make a version of this game that I would like more. I think this game is very well done, and I think I would pay $10 for it.
I'm here from the future with the power of time travel, so I'm going to actually offer a review point that won't be relevant until you hear another minisode that we recorded earlier, but you'll be hearing later. This is very similar to Time Stories in that I think that it manages a very specific balancing act that is low replayability, but a probably fairly okay value per person per time. Now I'll leave you back to your regular time stream.
Is that the TARDIS I hear? You better run, Charles.
Something acting. British. What? Pip tally ho.
Jolly
exterminate. That was the end of our parallel life sector. Who crossover? I know you've been looking forward to it.
Parallel.
Dr. Lives.
Dr. Lives is definitely like a really bad daytime show.
Yes.
Dr. Lives.
For my part, honestly, I like this game. If you see it on a Steam sale, if you see it in a Humble Bundle, if you get a chance to play it, do take a look. I think it's really interesting curiosity, and I think the art is lovely.
Also, if you're into party games.
I would just like to go to bat for the relative value of $10 for somewhere between 1 and 2 hours times 2 to 4 people's entertainment. I think that is really a good value. I also think this game is a game that I like existing. I like the fact that people made it. I like the fact that the people who made the absolutely lovely art and implemented a very well-done little game should get money for it. That's true. Like buying things. I like supporting creators. I think it's a good idea.
I'm pretty happy to have this game in my, like, things to whip out for the 15 minutes before, like, the other guests show up, repertoire of party games.
That is absolutely fair, and I definitely hope that they do make, like, more of the Yogg or more of this thing together. I look forward to seeing any kind of future creations of this sort. And yeah, no, you're right. It might be fun for future little stuff before parties.
I'm way here for a world. Like, I've never wanted a game to have DLC as much as I want the Yogg to. Like,
I think
if you just expand the storyline options, you're looking at, I will be doubly in the moment they release, you know, the $15 The Yogg Act 2 DLC that gives me access to the second act of the story after the Yogg occurs. Like, there is nowhere for this game to go but up. I feel a qualified positive about it.
So, Parallel Life Supplemental, Yogging Out.
As always, thank you so much for listening to Parallel Lives. If you want to find the show online, we're at parallelurl.com, parallelpodcast@gmail.com, or the Parallel Lives Tabletop Podcast on Facebook. Review us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio, and not only will you really help us out, you might win the Parallel Lives zine. We'll get more details on that later. Promise. If you'd like to find any of us on Twitter, the podcast is at Parallel Chat, I am at Wednesday Quest, Hugh is at Ionic Blather, Carrie is at Baroque Emotions, and Charles is at Gush4U with the number 4 and the letter U. This episode was produced by me with music by Ryan Roth and Helena Heron. Tune in next week for Dogs in the Vineyard, which is a solid 2 hours. I promise, it's not just going to be 2 hours of Who Would Let the Dogs Out played over and over again on repeat, but, you know, there's only one way to be sure. You better check it out.